So on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Ramanavami, it is our great fortune that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have this opportunity to discuss, hear and chant the glories of Sri Ram. So with the blessings and permission of all the assembled Vaishnavas, I would just try to repeat something from Valmiki Ramayana for my own purification. Till yesterday we have discussed from the Balakanda and the Ayodhya Kanda, and today we will discuss from the Aranya Kanda. Lord Ram has been banished to the forest. Bharat tries his level best, as we saw yesterday evening. Bharat Maharaj, with all of his conviction, with all of his intelligence, his keen desire, tried to persuade Lord Ram to return back to Ayodhya. But Lord Ramachandra was convinced that he has to follow and obey the instructions of his father. And so Lord Ram does not return back, and Bharat Maharaj returns back taking the beautiful sandals of Lord Ram. Sita Ram Lakshman proceed ahead inside the forest. And in the course of his travels, the Aranyakanda begins with description of Lord Ram killing two powerful demons. One is Viradha, very, very powerful demon, and the description is there, but we won't go into the details. And then he comes to the ashram of the great sage Sutikshana. And in the ashram of Sutikshana, Sita, Ram and Lakshman are staying. And during their stay, Sita Devi once approaches Lord Ram and says to him that, "My dear Lord, I have been wanting to tell you something for a very long time, but now I feel the opportunity has come and I must speak this to you." And Lord Ram says, "What is it that you want to share with me?" And Sita Devi says, "My dear Lord, you are a Kshatriya, and for a Kshatriya to hold weapons is appropriate. But since you have accepted the vows of being an ascetic in the forest, and I see that you are carrying this very huge, powerful sword with you, I feel that this is inappropriate." And Lord Ram said, "Why do you think so?" And Sita Devi says that, "My dear Lord, the nature of this world is that when you associate with something, then it has an influence over you." And then she tells the story of Indra. That once there was a very powerful Brahman who was engaged in performing austerities. His austerities were so powerful that Lord Indra became fearful. And Indra felt that if this Brahmana continues performing his austerities, then he may take over my position. So Indra, he presents himself in the form of a powerful king, carrying a sword in his hand, and goes to this Brahman. The Brahman greets this king, who is actually Indra, and says, "How can I serve you?" And the king says, "My dear Brahman, I have come here to hunt, but I have some important activity to perform, so I will go and come back. I want you to hold this sword." And he just gives this sword to this Brahman. And the Brahman holds the sword in his hand. And Indra goes and does not return back for a very long time. And the Brahman holds this sword with him. And then after some time he starts feeling, "Let me see what is the power of this sword." And then there is a tree nearby, and he uses the sword to chop off the tree. And then after some time, some animals come, and he feels, "Let me try to use this on them." And then after some time, some human beings come, and they try to attack him, and he uses this sword against them. And gradually he turns out to be a big killer. And then Indra goes back pacified that all of his Brahmanical power has been destroyed. So Sita Devi reveals to Lord Ram and says that, my dear Lord, there are so many Rakshasas in this forest. There are so many living beings in this forest. If you have this sword in your hand, you may use it inappropriately and kill innocent people. And therefore I request you to keep this sword away. And when Lord Ram hears this, he replies to Sita Devi and says, my dear Sita, do not worry. It is my duty as the king to provide protection. Now I am not the king, but here in this forest it is my duty to perform the act of protecting all these great sages and rishis who are performing austerities. They are engaged in the acts of dharma, and it is my duty to protect them. These sages have the power to kill all the demons and rakshasas. They have so much power in their mantras that they can kill them, but they do not want to do that. And so they are dependent on me. They are taking shelter of me. And because of this, I have to provide protection to them. And I will be very careful that I will only use this when absolutely required. So this is a very important principle, that the law of association is such that when we associate with things of this world, objects of this world, even if they are useful in our service, we have to be very, very careful, because they have a tendency to influence us. And therefore, as devotees, we are using so many things in Krishna's service, but unless we are very alert and conscious about how we are using things in Krishna's service, all of these various objects, all of the electronic gadgets, all of the various kinds of paraphernalia, money, power, everything can create influence upon us. And therefore Srila Prabhupada says, we have to be alert and conscious and submissive in the association of devotees. Otherwise, there is always a danger of being influenced. So from Sutikshna's ashram, Ram and Lakshman come to the ashram of Agastya Rishi. And Agastya Rishi gives them direction to go to a very beautiful scenic spot which is known as Panchavati. Panchavati is the place where Sita, Ram and Lakshman, they reside in a beautiful cottage, and that is known as Parnakutir. Lakshmanji collects various kinds of ingredients, most beautiful leaves, and with the help of these leaves, he makes a very nice, very cooling cottage for the pleasure of Sita and Ram. And they reside in this beautiful cottage. And it is at Panchavati that the sister of Shurpanakha appears. So Shurpanakha was a very powerful demoness. She had big, huge, copper-colored eyes. Her hair was disheveled. She was totally deformed. Looked very horrible. And she appeared in front of Lord Ram and Lakshman. She saw in the middle of this forest of Janasthan the beautiful features of Lord Ram and became attracted. And she wanted to enjoy with Lord Ram. But because she was so infatuated with lust, she forgot to change her own form. And she appears right in front of Ram. And in her features as a Rakshasi, she starts approaching Ram with various words of love. And she says that, oh beautiful personality, what are you doing here in the middle of this forest? You are so powerful and handsome looking that you deserve to enjoy with me. And who is this horrible looking woman with you, who's traveling along with you? Give her up and enjoy with me. And Lord Ram sees that Shurpanakha is really serious. And seeing her form, Lord Ram also becomes sarcastic and says, oh lovely limbed lady, oh most beautiful one, it is indeed the Lord's arrangement that you are here. But the problem is, you are so beautiful looking that you deserve to enjoy with someone who is really very powerful. And as far as I am concerned, I am already married, and here is my wife along with me. And therefore, such a beautiful lady like you does not deserve to be a co-wife. Therefore, I request you to please approach my brother Lakshman. He has come here all alone, and he will definitely give you shelter, because a beautiful personality like you deserves no less than Lakshman. And she feels that this is a very serious proposal. And she goes to Lakshman and approaches Lakshman and makes the same proposal to Lakshman. And Lakshman, he replies that, "Oh, most beautiful one in all the 14 worlds, why have you come here to me? There is a big difference between Ram and myself, which is not yet evident to you. And that is, as far as Ram is concerned, he is the elder brother and he is the king. And I am simply a servant and a das of Ram. Anyone who associates with me will become a dasi. Since I am the das, you become my wife, you will become dasi. And if you become wife of Ram, you will become the queen. So you have a choice. What do you want to become? Rani or dasi?" And Surpanaka liked this logic. Again she went back to Ram. And again approached Ram. And in this way both Ram and Lakshman were playing back and forth with her. But finally, Surpanaka understood that the problem is because of this Sita. And she approached Sita trying to attack her. And then Lord Ram indicated to Lakshman, "Lakshman, finish this pastime." Lakshman took his sword, cut off Surpanaka's nose and ears, and threw it across the Godavari on the other side. So the place where Lakshman would stand and guard Ram and Sita is known as Tapovan, which is on one side of Godavari. And then on the other side of Godavari, Surpanaka's nose and ears fell. And because nose in Sanskrit is called Nasika, so the place where Surpanaka's nose fell is known as the city Nasik. So that city of Nasik gets its name from Surpanaka's nose. And therefore, Lord Ram and Lakshman, they indicate through this pastime that when one is infatuated with lust, then in spite of the fact that they come in contact with the Lord, they just see from their own angle. And Surpanaka, in one sense, was infatuated with lusty desires for Lord Ram. And Lord Ram was trying to indicate that this is not the right mood in which one should approach me. And Surpanaka was so angry with this treatment which was given to her by Lakshman, she went running to her two brothers, Kar and Dushan, who were in the same forest area, the forest area of Janasthana. And in fact, some of our acharyas comment that this is Rakshasa mentality. Surpanaka, Ravan, both coming from the same family, brother and sister, and both were infatuated by Ram and Sita. One was infatuated by Ram, other was infatuated by Sita. Therefore, the tendency of Rakshasa or demon is to enjoy the property of Lord, to enjoy the Lord and not to serve the Lord. So Kar and Dushan also attack with 14,000 Rakshasas, and Lord Ram and Lakshman effortlessly kill all the 14,000 of them within 2 hours. In fact, in this fight, it is described in Ramayana that Ram just tells Lakshman that, "My dear Lakshman, you just take care of Sita. Put Sita in a cave. And that cave is still there in Nasik, that is known as Sita Gufa." And then he tells Lakshman to guard Sita Devi. And Lord Ram personally, single-handedly, kills all of these 14,000 Rakshasa army, including Kar and Dushan, who are the brothers of Ravan, and within 2 hours. And in this way, the entire Rakshasa army is devastated. From this army, one demon, whose name is Akampan, he escapes and travels all the way to Lanka and meets with Ravana. And this is the time when the entry of the great demon Ravana is there in Valmiki Ramayana. So Ravana represents lust. Ravana represents the mentality of trying to enjoy the property of the Lord for one's own pleasure. So Akampan goes to Ravan and says, "My dear Ravan, O king, if you promise not to be angry with you, I will reveal to you something." So Akampan knew that as soon as any bad news is related to Ravan, Ravan would become so angry that sometimes he would kill the person giving the news. So therefore first he took the promise, "Do not become angry with me." And then Ravan said, "I give you this promise, speak up." And Akampan said, "In the forest of Janasthan, your brothers Kara and Dushan, along with 14,000 Rakshasas, have been destroyed by mere human beings. And they are known as Ram and Lakshman." And Ravana became extremely angry. And he said, "What? Two human beings? They have destroyed all of this Rakshasa army? Tell me more about this. I will immediately sit on my chariot and go and kill this Ram and Lakshman." But Akampan said, "Relax. Do not go so fast. Because although Ram and Lakshman are human beings, this Ram is very powerful. He has the power to destroy the entire universe and recreate it again. My dear Ravan, do not make this mistake of going to kill Ram alone. In fact, I will reveal to you a better plan. And that is, Ram is extremely attached to his wife Sita. And she is so beautiful. She is just like the goddess of fortune. She is the embodiment of all loveliness. So you should go and kidnap Sita. And as soon as Sita is taken away from Ram, he cannot tolerate to live without her. And automatically he will give up his body." As soon as Ravana heard this, he became very happy. He liked this plan. And he said, "I will immediately start arrangements for this." And he went to his most confidential servant, whose name was Marich. The same Marich who previously had been sent away from the arena of Vishwamitra Muni's ashram. And Ravan went in his chariot to Marich. And Marich was in the middle of the forest in South India. And he was quite surprised to see Ravana personally come. And he looked at Ravan and said, "My dear Ravan, you have come here personally to speak with me. It seems there is something very important and urgent." And Ravana said, "Yes, you're right. There is some very urgent mission. I want you to create a plan by which we can kidnap Sita, who is the wife of Ram. This Ram and Lakshman have created havoc. They have insulted me by killing my two brothers and 14,000 Rakshasas in Janasthan. In fact, I cannot tolerate this fact that mere human beings have created so much of destruction. It is an insult to the Rakshasa race." And Ram and Lakshman, who appeared as human beings, Ravana being a Rakshasa, he thought that Ram was an ordinary human being. And this was his mistake. And this is the Rakshasa mentality. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanum ashrita. So the nature of demons is, they consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be ordinary human being. Ram appeared to be like a human being. Krishna appears to be an ordinary human being. But they are transcendentally powerful personalities, filled with all opulences. And therefore, when Lord appears in his different incarnations, unless one has the mercy of the Supreme Lord and his devotee, one cannot appreciate the Lord's power. One cannot appreciate who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Bilwamangal Thakur explains, "Yad Roma Randra Paripurti Vidhava Daksha Varaha Janmani Babhu Varami Samudra Tam Namanatham Aravinda Drisham Yashoda Panir Dvayantam Snapayam Babhuva." He says, that the Supreme Lord in His different incarnations appears in so many wonderful ways that an ordinary person cannot see that. He will be bewildered. For example, when Supreme Lord appears as Varahadev, the body, the form of Varahadev was so huge, so gigantic. Do you know how huge Varahadev's body was? Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, Yad Roma Randhra Paripurti Vidhava Daksha. If you consider, if you want to know how huge Varahadev was, just consider this fact. If you take one skin pore on the form of Varahadev, one pore of his skin, then all of the water in all the oceans of this planet, if they were poured in one skin pore of Varahadev, still they would not overflow. That was the size of one skin pore of Varahadev. So can you imagine what must be the actual dimensions of the form of Varahadev? If one skin pore is so huge that all of the ocean waters do not overflow after pouring it in, so it is unimaginable. We will get bewildered. So Varaha Janmani Babhuva Ramis Samudra, but that same Varahadev, yes, agreed, with such a gigantic form, you can appreciate He is the Supreme. But when that same Varahadev, He appears in Dwapar Yuga as Krishna, as Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan, then Panir Dvayantam Snapayam Babhuva, Yashoda Mai takes one small bucket of water and pours it on Krishna, and his bath is over. So someone will wonder, is it the same Lord? Is it the same form? I mean, in terms of, you know, modern day physics equations, it doesn't make sense if you consider the volume of water used. So much of volume of water in one skin pore and little bit of water and the whole form is bathed. And we say, no, He's the same Supreme Lord. So therefore people become bewildered. And therefore Prabhupada said that you cannot understand Krishna in spite of all your best efforts, because Krishna is always achintya. So one disciple asked, but Srila Prabhupada, if Krishna cannot be known so easily, then why you have written so many books describing Krishna? And why you have written so many purports describing Krishna? And you're also saying that you must read these books and read these purports daily. So Prabhupada said, I have given these purports so that you can understand that I cannot understand Krishna, because He is inconceivable and achintya. Only when He reveals Himself, He can be understood. One Indian gentleman in Bombay, he was meeting Srila Prabhupada and he said that, Swamiji, why you are installing deities of Radha and Krishna? They look so beautiful, so divine, so sweet, so loving, but it is very difficult for me to relate to them as God, because I think God means it must inspire some power. God means He must be very powerful looking. So you should rather install, you know, Virat Roop in your temples. So if the Virat Roop is installed, then we feel, okay, there is something God. So Prabhupada said, if you install Virat Roopa, how you will dress them? How much cloth you will need to dress them? If Virat Roop comes, all the factory cloth will be used. And as far as offering, what does Virat Roop eat? Everything. And therefore it is impossible for anyone to relate with Virat Roop with love and affection. It is a neophyte conception to think that God appears in that form. But devotees, they approach Lord in a mood of loving reciprocation. So even though the Lord appears in form as Krishna, as Ram, ordinary people without knowledge may consider them to be human beings. Just like Ravan is thinking, Ram is an ordinary human being. How could he kill so many Rakshasas? But devotees appreciate and understand. So for that, we need the mercy of devotees. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, you need two things to advance in Krishna consciousness and appreciate transcendence of Krishna and appreciate Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee must be, number one, faithful, and number two, he must be thoughtful. So when a devotee is faithful and thoughtful, then gradually he advances in Krishna consciousness and appreciates that the Supreme Lord and all of his forms are transcendental. So now Marich hears this proposal of Ravan, and Marich replies to Ravana. And Marich says, my dear Ravana, who has given you this advice to try to kidnap Sita, the consort of Ram? Whoever has given you advice is very eager to see your death very soon. He seems to be your best enemy, and therefore he has given advice like this. Don't you know the power of Ram? Ram is like a huge, powerful, fathomless ocean. His bow is like a huge, powerful crocodile's. The arrows coming from this bow, they are just like the waves of this ocean. His huge, powerful arms are just like whirlpools within this ocean. And the entire span of this ocean is the battlefield where all of his enemies just drown. And therefore, it is my advice to you that do not even try to confront Ram, because he is all powerful and you will be finished and destroyed. In fact, in my opinion, if you want to keep all of your limbs intact, you should just return back to Lanka and just enjoy with all of your wives there. Prasida Lankeshwara Rakshasendra Lankam Prayachcha Bhavasadu Gachcha Tvam Sveshu Dareshu Ramaswanityam Rama Swabharyam Ramatam Vaneshu. Marich is giving first class advice to Ravan. But as they say, Vinashakale Viprita Buddhi. When a person is determined to destroy himself, no advice can help him. So Marich is saying, Prasida Lankeshwara Rakshasendra, O king of the Rakshasas, O lord of all the demons, go back to Lanka, be happy, be satisfied. Lankam Prayachcha Bhavasadu Gachcha, you're getting a chance to go back alive. That is your great fortune. Tvam Sveshu Dareshu Ramaswanityam. And by the Lord's arrangement, you have so many wives with whom you can enjoy. Millions and millions of queens are there. Just enjoy with them in your own palace. Rama Swabharyam Ramatam Vaneshu. And let Lord Ram enjoy with his own queen in the forest. Leave them alone. Do not interfere with Lord Ram's life. And this was the good advice which was given by Marich to Ravana. And we can see that the nature of this world is one is always dissatisfied. Ravana represents lust, and the nature of lust is one is always dissatisfied. And this is the root cause of dissatisfaction. A person in his youth thinks that I am experiencing the influence of lust. I am feeling unfulfilled. So let me satisfy myself by coming in contact with someone else who is also unfulfilled and filled with lust. And therefore, when there is a combination or a relationship based on lust, the nature of lust is lust always remains dissatisfied. You can never completely satisfy lust. So therefore, this relationship, which is based on the premise that we can satisfy each other's lust, is ultimately doomed. Because in due course of time, the nature of lust is it will convert to anger. And then gradually one feels that this has become very sour, this has become very bitter. And therefore, any relationship which is based on lust will ultimately result in frustration. And so kamat krodho bhi jayate. And so one feels that he is responsible or she is responsible for my frustration. But actually, the other person is not responsible. It is this feeling of lust which can never be satisfied, insatiable, which burns like fire. But we assumed that we will be able to satisfy this with the help of this partner. And that lust is the cause of the frustration. So Ravana in his own palace has millions and millions of most beautiful queens who have on their own accord come from various parts of the universe. None of them are deformed. None of them are born in a low family. All of them are filled with exquisite beauty. But in spite of enjoying with all of them, Ravana still feels unfulfilled. And that is the nature of lust. So when we see objects of this world, then with eyes tinged with lust, we only see every object as a means to satisfy our own thirst. And therefore, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, that Swamiji, why did God create this world? Why did Krishna create this world? And Prabhupada said, for enjoyment. And this man was very happy. And he thought, this is what I wanted to hear. And Prabhupada added, not yours, Krishna's. Because that is the ultimate purpose of this creation. That all of us become participants in the plan to please the Supreme Lord. And therefore, the Ravana mentality is to try to enjoy separate from Krishna. And therefore, as soon as we try to take Sita or God's opulences away from Lord and try to enjoy, we will be in anxiety. And as we saw yesterday, Bharat's mentality, Bharat's mood was try to give back to Ram what belongs to Ram. And he was going out of his way to just offer everything which he had to Ram. And Ravana, in spite of advice of Marich and so many others, is trying to snatch Sita away from Ram, take things away from Ram. This is the difference in mentality between a devotee and a demon. So even as practicing devotees, we have the choice to develop the mood of Bharat or to develop the mood of Ravana. And because of our past anarthas, this Ravana-like mentality keeps cropping up from within and torments us. And therefore we have to pray to the Supreme Lord Sri Ram to give us His mercy. Only by His mercy, this demoniac mentality of Ravana can be killed. And therefore, once Srila Prabhupada was in Delhi, and there was one businessman who came to meet him. And he was telling Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, I have one factory in Jaipur, I have one factory in Kota, I have one factory here, I have one factory there. But there are so many problems going on in this factory, I am not able to sleep at night. Prabhupada said, you just give all those factories to us and sleep peacefully. And this man became very afraid. And he started going away. And Prabhupada said, wait, give us your address. And he said, no, Swamiji, I know your address, I can come back to you. Prabhupada said, that is very good, but we also need to come to you. So you give your address. And reluctantly he gave his address to Srila Prabhupada. And then he left and Prabhupada told his other disciples, just see, because he's trying to enjoy on his own, there is so much of anxiety. There is so much of anxiety. And from the time Ravana kidnapped Sita till Ram killed him, you will read in Ramayana how Ravan was in constant anxiety, constant misery, not a moment of peace. And therefore people are asking question, how to get peace, how to find peace. To get PC is very, very easy. You just go to a shop, buy a PC. But to get peace is very difficult in Kali Yuga. Very difficult. And we should know nothing comes free. For everything you have to pay a price. Similarly, if we want peace, we have to pay a price. Ravana wanted peace, but he felt he will find peace by kidnapping Sita. So many of his own people are trying to give him advice. Forget this, it's an impossible proposal. But because he's so obsessed, he feels, unless I get Sita, I cannot be satisfied. And so Ravana, on the first stage, takes Maricha's advice and returns back. But now, Shurpanakha enters. And Shurpanakha, with her face disfigured, screams at Ravana, my important brother, you are supposed to be the king, but you are not doing anything, you are simply sitting here enjoying with all of your queens. There is no justice in your kingdom. Just see the kind of treatment which has been given to me. And 14,000 Rakshasas have been killed. What are you doing? And all this by two human beings. And Ravana became agitated. He told Shurpanakha, who did this to you? And Shurpanakha said, that man, mortal, Ram, he did this to me. He is so powerful. He is so handsome looking. He has so much of strength that it is practically impossible for any ordinary person to defeat him. Only you can do that, my dear brother. And also, Ram is accompanied by his very beautiful wife, Sita. And Shurpanakha goes at great length to describe the beauty of Sita Devi. And she does in such a way that she tries to agitate Ravana. And then says that actually this Sita is so beautiful that even if you combine the beauty of all the queens which are there in your palace right now, they will not match even a fraction of Sita's beauty. In fact, till you get Sita in your life, my dear Ravan, your life is useless. Shunyaitam, as Lord Chaitanya said. So that is what the demons think, that till they get a certain kind of sense enjoyment, their life is useless, and one becomes obsessed and possessed by this thought. And Shurpanakha's plan worked, and Ravana became obsessed. Immediately he goes to Maricha again, and Maricha is bewildered. He said, I just sent you back, again you have come, what is the matter? And Ravana says, I have come here not to hear your advice. Now I have come to instruct you what is to be done. Take the form of a deer and attract Sita away, attract Ramchandra away, and then I will come and kidnap Sita Devi. And this is my plan, and I am instructing you. If you do not follow my instruction, I will kill you. So Maricha started thinking that if I follow his instruction, Ram will kill me. If I don't follow instruction, Ravan will kill me. Better to be killed by Ram than Ravan. So he decided, let me follow this instruction. He took the form of a golden deer. And then this golden deer approaches this beautiful Parna Kutir where Sita, Ram and Lakshman are residing. And this beauty of this deer was so incomparable, golden spots and effulgence coming out as if there was light. And simply by seeing this beauty, Sita is attracted. And Sita looks towards Ram and says, my dear Lord, you have to help me. Please get this golden deer. I want to take him back with me to Ayodhya. And Lord Ram, he simply follows the movements of this deer. And before going, Lord Ram instructs Lakshman that, Lakshman, make sure that you do not leave Sita. Protect Sita, and I will return back with this deer. And Lord Ram proceeds ahead, following this deer. And Maricha, with all of his movements, tries to lure Ramchandra away from this ashram. Various movements, and Lord Ram is bewildered. Sometimes he is seen, sometimes he is unseen. Sometimes this deer comes from behind the tree, runs behind the bushes, appears in front of Lord Ram, and then runs away. And at a certain point, Lord Ram realizes, it is not possible for me to capture this deer alive, and therefore let me kill this deer. So Lord Ram places a very sharp arrow upon his bow and shoots this straight in the direction of this deer. And as soon as it hits the deer, Maricha at the top of his voice shouts, oh Lakshman, Sita, Lakshman, Sita, exactly imitating the voice of Ram. And back in that ashram, Sita Devi looks at Lakshman and says, Lord Ram is calling us. Lakshman, you must go and help him. And Lakshman says, do not worry. No power can touch Lord Ram. This must be the work of some Rakshasa. Sita says, no. You must go, Lakshman, you must. You cannot hesitate. And Lakshman says, I am telling you, I cannot go. Lord Ram has given me instruction. And Sita Devi says, I know why you do not want to go. I know what is your inner motive. Right from the very beginning when you came to the forest, you had a desire to enjoy me. That is your real plan. And now you are feeling great pleasure that Ram will be killed. And once Ram is killed, you can enjoy with me. This is your real plan. And as soon as Lakshman hears this, this is like thunderbolt upon his heart. And he says, you are like a mother to me. Please do not speak this. If you want me to go, I will go. But please don't speak like this. And so Lakshman, although knowing that there was this problem with this demon, still he had to go because Sita was pushing him so much. So it is seen that many times the sound of Ram appears to be coming from within. So this was Marich's sound. Marich was making this sound. Oh Sita, oh Lakshman. Marich was calling out. But he was calling out exactly as if it appeared that Ram was calling. Similarly, while practicing Krishna consciousness, we keep hearing so many sounds from within. And sometimes it appears to us that Paramatma is calling from within. But there is a great difference between the sound coming from Paramatma and the message coming from our own mind. So most of the time, it is just the mind cheating us. The mind is calling out to us. And we feel, oh, maybe the Lord is calling us. Maybe it is Ram calling. Maybe it is Ram's desire. Therefore, a practicing devotee always needs to take advice of a living representative. And Lakshman, who represents the Guru Tattva, is very important. So rather than disobeying Guru, the Acharyas, the great Vaishnavas, the advanced devotees, who all represents this Guru Tattva, Diksha and Shiksha Gurus, they give us advice. They help us discriminate between the sound of Ram and the sound of Marich. They explain to us, this is not the Lord's will. This is just a demoniac tendency coming up. Be careful. And we feel, no, 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 no. Actually, it is the Lord's will. It is the Lord's desire. And then if we engage in argument and we ultimately disobey, then ultimately we will be caught by the influence of Ravana. And so it is so very important for us to be submissive in the association of devotees and submissive to the will of senior Vaishnavas who act as gurus to us, instructing mediums to us, and they help us discriminate. And this discrimination is very important. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada would always mention this fact that while practicing Krishna consciousness, you have to be very careful of the sounds coming from within. And the mind can cheat us in so many ways. The mind can tell us, you know, maybe you are practicing Krishna consciousness too seriously. Just relax a little bit, you know. Maybe you are too tired. Just go to sleep now. And when you are fresh, you can chant. And then the whole day passes and then it's night. And says, now it's already night. You should sleep now peacefully. Then tomorrow during Brahma Muhurt, you should chant again. And add whatever chanting was remaining previous day, okay? So go to sleep. And then gradually, one keeps account of all of one's different activities, which is not in a disciplined fashion. And then our entire Krishna consciousness goes beyond control. It is so important to discriminate. And this discrimination is most important. Someone approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, please give me your blessings so that I can remain humble. Prabhupada said, first become humble. And then you can think of remaining humble. And what is the meaning of becoming humble? You follow the instruction and follow the guidance of superiors. And that is the process of becoming humble. And so we have to be very careful about these sounds coming from within, which cheat us, which make us feel that this is the right thing to do. So in case of doubt, always take guidance and bounce off your ideas of some senior devotees so that we are sure, yes, I am on the right track. I am actually following Ram's advice. I am actually following the sound of Ram, not the sound of Marich. So now that Lakshman left, it was time for Ravana to enter. And Ravana came in. And Ravana took the form of a sadhu, wearing saffron, jata, beard, and everything. And he was having a kamandalu in his hand. And he approached Sita Devi and said, please give me some alms, O Sita, O beautiful lady. And he actually didn't call her Sita. He asked her various questions. So, my dear most beautiful lady, are you the goddess of modesty, Hri? Are you the goddess of fortune, Shri? Are you the goddess of love, Rati? And in so many ways, he was glorifying her beauty. And Sita was bewildered, because a sadhu should not speak like this. But still Sita did not say anything. And she just told that, my dear sir, that you have approached at my ashram, I will definitely try to fulfill your desire. So please tell me, what can I do for you? Please tell me, how can I fulfill your desires? What alms can I give you? And saying like this, she just brought some water and offered it to Ravana. And Ravana started explaining about his own power. He became so infatuated by seeing Sita's beauty, he just forgot everything. And he started saying, I am Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, and a beautiful damsel like you deserves to enjoy with me. And saying like this, he just went and caught hold of Sita. And Sita became so agitated. She started screaming out to Ravana that you are trying to enjoy with me. You are just like a jackal. And Lord Ram is just like a lion. And you are trying to touch a lioness. You do not know what will be the consequence. You are trying to wipe your eyes with a needle. You are trying to carry fire within your garment. Your attempt to enjoy with me and kidnap me is just like a foolish man's attempt to drink poison. It is as risky as a person trying to cross an ocean carrying a stone across his neck. My dear Ravana, you are just like a low-class crow. Lord Ram is like the powerful Garuda bird. Lord Ram is like an ocean. You are just like a filthy, muddy puddle of water. Lord Ram is like powerful nectar, and you are just like poison. Lord Ram is like sandalwood, and you are just like ordinary wood. There is no comparison between Lord Ram and yourself. And if you try to enjoy with me, you are just like an insignificant fly. And a fly, when he tries to enjoy pure ghee, drowns in that ghee. And that is what would happen to you if you try to kidnap me, you Ravana. So Sita, while being kidnapped by Ravana, really gave him a piece of her mind, chastised him heavily. But Ravana was so infatuated, he could not understand anything. He just transformed into his ten-headed form and ultimately kidnapped Sita, put her in his chariot and took Sita away from that place. Of course, in Valmiki Ramayana, there is no mention of Lakshman Rekha. In other Ramayans, in other versions, there is mention of Lakshman Rekha. And in some places, in conversations, Prabhupada makes a mention. And other Acharyas also make this mention. So this Lakshman Rekha represents the boundary of the safety of association of devotees. and the instructions of senior devotees. So as soon as we cross this maryada, cross or overstep the boundary, then we are not safe. As long as we put ourselves within this boundary, then there is safety. And so Ravana appearing in saffron cloth and trying to entice Sita is very important. Sita represents bhakti. Sita represents devotion. So all of us potentially have this devotion within our heart. And there are so many people in this world who are trying to steal that away, snatch that away. And they may appear in various garbs. Just like Ravana appeared wearing saffron cloth, appearing like a religionist. There are so many kinds of religionists who come and try to steal that faith away, steal that bhakti away. And Bhagavatam describes various kinds of such vidharmis. One is vidharmi. Vidharmi means one who appears to be following dharma, but he actually does not believe in true dharma of love of Krishna. But they just follow various rituals. Then there is the paradharmi. Like for example, vidharmi means they will say, you can only chant specific mantras in a specific way. Like I was doing a jail program in Pune, and I was chanting kirtan, and then I asked for questions, and there were life convicts who were sitting, 500 life convicts in this jail program in Yerawada jail. One good thing about jail program is crowd is fixed. Crowd is guaranteed. Audience is guaranteed. They can't go anywhere. So this one man got up and said, I want to ask a question. He was a big murderer. And I said, okay, ask the question. He said, I want to ask from the stage. So I got a little frightened. So I went near the DCP and said, what is this? He said, no, let him ask, no problem. So he came on top of the stage and, you know, put forward his question to all of his other friends who were sitting. He said, Swamiji, you just mentioned in your discourse about Maha Mantra. The mantra in the scriptures is Hare Ram. And while singing Kirtan, you are singing Hare Ramo. So this is not correct. So which is correct, Ram or Ramo? And all the other convicts, they just clapped their hands saying, oh, our fellow is also a big scholar, you know. So I said, okay, my dear friend, if you are hungry and I bring the best Alfonso export quality mango from Ratnagiri and give it to you and I tell you that this is Amo, eat this Amo, you know. Mango in Hindi is Aam. So whether I call it Aam or Amo, will it make any difference? If it is mango, you will eat it. So similarly, the holy name is all powerful. And in Sambodhan, sometimes the Lord is called like this. But ultimately, the power is there. So vidharmis are those who stick to certain stereotype rituals. And they cannot understand pure devotional service. Then there is the paradharmi, who thinks that concocted forms of religion can work. And they are into all these different types of dharmas like Deha Dharma, Desha Dharma, and things like that. And so there were so many movies which are created. In Bombay 2 years back, there were so many films on Bhagat Singh. In one summer, Bhagat Singh is one of the big freedom fighters in India. So 6 movies were made on this one character, Bhagat Singh. So I was inviting one person to come to our Sunday program and he said, I'm not coming. I'm going to see a very pious film, Bhagat Singh, because it is on Desh Dharma. So I said, why you have to go there? You come to Sunday feast. There also we'll have Bhagat Singh. I said, really? You're going to have the film? I said, on Sunday so many Bhagats come and they all sing Kirtan. So you come here. No problem. So this is a concocted idea of Desh Dharma. So this is part of what is known as paradharma. And people are convinced that nationalism and this ism and that ism, they are all dharmas which you have to follow. Third is upadharma. Upadharma means a person claims to be God himself and overrules the authority of the Vedas. This is another kind of cheater. So therefore, upadharma is a big threat. And there are so many gods, as Prabhupada would say, who is the god this week? tell us who is the God this week. Therefore, Upadharmis are the ones who claim to be God. And then there is Chala. Chala means those who engage in word jugglery. That is also, they appear to be dharmic, but they indulge in word jugglery. Like Sarvasya Chayam Hridisannivishto, Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to meet one king of Manipur. And the king of Manipur was drinking tea. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, why are you drinking tea? He said, it is there in the Gita. Sarvasya Chayam Hridisannivishto. Krishna says that everyone must drink tea, which must be cooked on stove, sannivishto, on gas stove. You must cook this tea. So therefore I am following this. So some person had come and told him this. So chala. And abhasa means the fifth type of irreligion is that they take on certain dress of sannyasi, but they live the life of a sense enjoyer. So these are all types of ravanas who appear to be giving you something attractive, but they actually lure you away for their own enjoyment. Therefore, we have to be very careful where we give our faith, and that bhakti within our heart is very precious. If you are not careful and be within the instructions of great Vaishnavas, then Ravana-like people will come and steal that away. So on this most auspicious occasion of the appearance of Sri Ramachandra, let us pray at the lotus feet of Lord Ram that he gives us the intelligence and the discrimination by which we can be a humble servant in the association of devotees. All of us have so many anarthas and so many conditionings from the past. We pray at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumanji that they gave us the strength, the power to purify ourselves from all of these conditionings so that we can become a humble instrument in their mission. The Lord is pleased with bhakti, and therefore by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have this opportunity in this life to experience this feeling of bhakti. May Lord Ram give us the strength, the power by which we can continue on this path of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami and all these acharyas. Give us the strength to overcome all the obstacles which will come definitely in this path. Let us become humble instruments in the hands of devotees. Let us overcome our tendencies to find fault, criticize, and try to offend other devotees. Let us try to become humble, simple, and very, very genuine servant of all the Vaishnavas in the society of Srila Prabhupada. And with this prayer, let us pray at the lotus feet of Ram that let us spend this whole life chanting the holy names with great attention, free from all offenses, every day minimum of 16 rounds with great faith till the very end of our lives, the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Shishi Ram Naume Maha Mahotsav ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.